We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks so much. As always, we certainly appreciate you being here. And we look forward to the rest of the day as we talk so many different things. We're going to talk some betting coming up here shortly. Going to talk some more Brewers baseball. Going to talk some Badgers. By the way, big game coming up for the Wisconsin Badgers. Badgers have the Saturday night contest. That is going to be against the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House. College game day is going to be there under the lights. A lot of ESPN stuff I saw in the last 24 hours about this game upcoming. So they're hyping the heck out of this thing. I hope the Badgers come in and perform extremely well because they need it big time. They need it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so because we'd love to have you. 855-830-8648. Also, a lot of different sides to talk about this whole Dodgers Brewers series, and I want to get into some of that as some of you are bringing up. I got a couple of people listening out in LA that have contacted me, and we'll get in touch with you on that as well. So stick around for that. Going to talk about this Packers game upcoming on Monday night. You got some other games that are getting. We got one coming up tonight, Philadelphia and the Giants. The line has been kind of moving on that over the last 24 hours. And, man, that's just. I can't believe the Giants, as bad as they are, is a pick 'em right now with the defending champs. Can't believe it. But it is. It's a basically a point spread. Can't believe it's almost a pick 'em right now. Because the Eagles. Again, Eagles defending champs. Starts in 8 hours and some change, so to speak. And the Philadelphia Eagles have not looked like the Philadelphia Eagles that we saw kind of roll through everybody from last year. So we'll get into that discussion coming up here as well. And you've got the lines that are going to be here from Bovada and Odd Shark and all that kind of good stuff. So we'll give you everything that's upcoming. 855-830-8648 if you want to chime in, do so. The our good friends over at Van Horn Auto Group. Van Horn Auto Group, fantastic people there. And I've talked about them now for a while. They are the home of the 90-day test drive. And I was starting to look for a car, and everybody knows that I was talking about getting a regular vehicle. And then I started looking at a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And then I thought, well, maybe a pickup truck. And so I went out to the Van Horn Auto Group, and they gave me a whole list. They're in Plymouth and Manitowoc and Stoughton. I went to the one in Plymouth, and I took a ride in a new Ram. And basically, it's a pickup truck. It's a luxury car with a pickup truck around it is the way I describe it. Even though I looked at the Grand Cherokee and the Dodge Charger and the Dodge 300, the Chrysler 300, I ended up going with the pickup truck. So if you're not satisfied, the best part about it is you can return it, no additional commitment after 90 days, or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. I went with the truck at the Truck Center in Plymouth. Love it. VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. You can shop the inventory, see everything that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program, and that is exclusively at Van Horn. Go to VanHornAuto.com and tell them we sent you. Chris Raybon, senior NFL analyst for the Action Network and co-host of I'll Take That Bet on ESPN, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Chris, how you been, man?
How's it going, Bill?
We're doing well. I was just sitting here kind of waxing a little bit, and I said, I can't believe that where things stand right now, the defending champions are only a point differential from the god-awful New York Giants. Give me your thoughts on this, because I thought Philadelphia might be favored by a little bit more than this.
Well, it's just going to be a tough game for Philadelphia. Short week, going on the road, division rival,
Lane Johnson just ended up on the injury report. You know, Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles, their top two backs coming into the year, are going to be out. And Philadelphia's been having a real problem containing, you know, number one wide receivers. You know, we saw it with Adam Thielen. We saw it pretty much every week and even going back to last season. So it's not going to be easy for them to kind of contain Odell Beckham. Remember, they should have won that game handily against Minnesota given their advantages of their defensive front versus Minnesota's offensive line. So the fact that they weren't able to do that kind of spells a little trouble going on the road to face this Giants team that if they can do one thing, they can kind of you know, get the ball in their playmakers' hands and make things happen.
Here in our own area, you got Minnesota there hosting Arizona. Arizona, I would assume the spread would have been much larger had Arizona not gotten the win against San Francisco last weekend, but 9.5 they're getting.
Yeah, you know, the Vikings, they're probably not as good as we thought they would be, and so I think that Arizona, there's still kind of a lot of unknowns, you know, moving to Rosen at quarterback. So this is a game where it's kind of tricky. You know, I've seen a lot of people's models that actually have the Vikings winning by less than that, you know, kind of like a one-score game. So I think this game could be a little closer than people think as the Cardinals kind of figure it out. And we knew they weren't going to be quite as bad as they've been just by pure regression to the mean. I mean, they're averaging, you know, under 150, you know, net yards passing. So that'll kind of come up as the season progresses.
Then you got Chicago on the road taking on Miami. Miami giving away 1.5, which basically is a pick 'em or a three-point kick in one way. Chicago, we know defensively they're fantastic. Offensively, they're not going to ride Mitchell Trubisky. He just has to be more of a game manager. But Miami was really riding high until they went into New England and just got kind of waxed there. So what do you make of Miami in this matchup?
I think it's going to be a troublesome spot for Miami because of the Bears' defense and combined with the Dolphins' offense and especially their offensive line. Chicago has been the top defense in adjusted sack rate, which also looks at pressures and it adjusts for a strength of schedule. And Miami's, you know, in the bottom 10 in the league in that. And then if you look at, okay, well, if Chicago can kind of limit Miami on early downs, on first and second down, which they should be able to do, Miami is 30th in the league in third down conversion rate on offense. This Ryan Tannehill-led attack with kind of no running game is really not built to kind of come from behind. And if the Bears could just kind of get up in this game, I think they should be able to cover the spread.
You've got another one, interesting one, Carolina, who is looking better. They haven't had spectacular wins, but they've had wins. And Washington gets the win over the Green Bay Packers, we all know, and did it quite easily. So I don't know what to make of this game because it's only 1.5 either, Carolina giving it away.
Yeah, I think Washington has been a little bit underwhelming in all areas. You know, they kind of started the season, they got the win against Green Bay, but that's kind of really been their claim to fame at this point. You know, Josh Norman, we see him having some struggles, getting benched, committing way too many penalties on offense. Alex Smith not really letting the ball go into tight windows, which is exactly kind of what we expected when he doesn't have a guy like Tyreek Hill who's going to get massive separation, or a coordinator like Andy Reid who's going to be able to design plays that can create separation down the field for his receivers. So I think, as you mentioned, Carolina looking good. I think they have enough to kind of get this done against Washington.
A good matchup in the AFC North. Pittsburgh on the road in Cincinnati. Ben Roethlisberger having a really solid season. Defensively, they haven't been great, but T.J. Watt has been fantastic, tied for the league lead in sacks. On the other hand, Cincinnati loses Tyler Eifert, and everybody thought that was the end. But Eifert, they haven't really used him much anyway because he's been banged up his entire career. So talk about the matchup in Cincy.
Yeah, I think this is actually going to be a pretty evenly matched game. The one thing you have to just watch out for is Pittsburgh has historically kind of, you know, had these moments on the road where they just don't show up. And if that's the case, that it's going to be troublesome because I think Cincinnati's offense is a lot better than we think. Tyler Boyd has really stepped it up as a number two receiver, you know, leading that team in receptions and actually giving Andy Dalton another place to go with the football, you know, more a little more to the outside and not only, you know, with the tight end. So I think Pittsburgh, they have the advantage overall on offense. And they should be able to keep Ben Roethlisberger a little bit cleaner then the Bengals are able to keep Andy Dalton, who struggles under pressure. But and we just have to kind of watch out for Pittsburgh not laying a stinker on the road.
Another game that I find interesting, even though it's not a matchup of Titanics here, Atlanta has been struggling, and they are still giving away four to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay coming into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Tampa Bay has played well at times, and then at other times just not looked at all very good. What is up between these two teams, and what is up with Atlanta?
So Atlanta's really been struggling ever since. It started in week 2 when they started losing some of their key defenders, Deion Jones, the linebacker, Keanu Neal, then Ricardo Allen. Both of their starting safeties are not going to be on the field for them. So that's when their defense started struggling. They're giving up over 30 points a game since then. And Tampa Bay, transitioning to Jameis, I think it's not going to be as big of a transition as we might think. We saw Jameis actually putting up decent numbers last season as well. Not as much as Ryan Patrick, but still pretty good. What it really comes down to here is, does Jameis have that same chemistry with DeSean Jackson that Ryan Fitzpatrick had? Because if Tampa Bay can get the explosive plays going, they can match Atlanta point for point, because Tampa Bay, remember, has the league worst pass defense as well.
Two games that obviously, one of them being Green Bay, but I want to get to Kansas City and New England. This is a big game. I mean, Kansas City undefeated, New England trying to prove that they still belong. They're giving away 3.5 at home. Kansas City's a damn good football team. I'm surprised this is not more of just a pick 'em.
Yeah, I think, again, when you look at the lines, you also have to remember that the odds makers are trying to make these lines to get even action on both sides. And I think that a lot of the public, they love to bet on the Patriots. And there are a lot of people that still are doubters in Patrick Mahomes that are saying, okay, this is where the buck stops. The Patriots, he's not going into Foxborough and pulling off this win. And so the Patriots are favorite. But I think everyone talks about the Chiefs defense and how bad it is. But I think the key here is that the New England Patriots are last. They're bottom three, in adjusted sack rate on defense. They are not getting any pass rush. Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL in passer rating from a clean pocket, among many other things. And so, Kansas City's actually been middle of the pack on defense with their pass rush. And so you could argue that, Kansas City actually has a better matchup offense versus defense than do the Patriots, Tom Brady, going against this bad Chiefs defense, simply because the Patriots aren't likely to get any pressure on Mahomes.
And then we've got Green Bay hosting San Francisco Monday Night Football. The Packers giving up 7.5.
Yeah, I think the Packers, this is a game where the Packers should be able to kind of handily take care of these 49ers. I think, CJ Bethard is a quarterback who, he's going to make some mistakes. We saw that last week. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this guy, he could do it with anyone, put up over 400 yards. Granted, in kind of a trying to come back against Detroit, but in this one, I think they need to get Aaron Jones a little more involved for the sake of this team and this offense to just I know they don't like him in pass protection, but I think if you kind of could take some pressure off Aaron Rodgers with that run game, it's going to help long term, especially with his receivers kind of being banged up and not getting as much practice time with him as they would like.
Great stuff as always, Chris. They can always track you down at the Action Network, and they can also check you out on I'll Take That Bet on ESPN. Always good to talk to you, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Likewise.
Thanks, pal. Thanks. Talk to you soon. There you go. Chris Raybon, and as I had mentioned, senior analyst for the Action Network and also co-host of I'll Take That Bet on ESPN, joining us on Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I want to remind you, coming up tonight, we're going to be on the road. The Bill Michaels Huddle. Going to be at Moe's Irish Pub. We're going to be in Wauwatosa, the corner of Highway 100 and Blue Mountain Road. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio going to be there tonight with us as well. So hope to see you there as a face in the crowd. Going to have a lot of fun doing that. He said, what? Wait a minute. Former Packer, is he get hit in the head or what? We'll tell you what he said coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Come, my lady, come, my lady. Welcome back. How are we looking? Bill Michaels' show is on the air. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs. Reminding you, if you want the best seats in the house at Lambeau Field, all you have to do is go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. and fill out the information, you're good to go, because you could win the 50-yard line plush leather recliners, and you and a friend could be hanging out. 50-yard line Lambeau Field. Good stuff right there. It's all compliments of our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Good news out of Green Bay. Geronimo Allison has been cleared via the concussion protocol to come back and participate in Monday night's contest. So that's good news. Maybe he is one of the catalysts that starts this team on a win streak, because a former Green Bay Packer has stated that, oh, yeah, no problem for this team to get a bunch of wins. Listen to James Jones on the NFL Network.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, I think he's going to tell us that they're going to lose a bunch of games, finish 7-9, and miss the postseason, right?
I mean, you wish. Listen.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers is on that football team, on that field. I cannot go against 12. He is special. Week 6, okay. Mason Crosby is not going to miss 5 kicks. They are going to win that game right there. Okay. And then we get a bye week. We get healthy. You get Randall Cobb back. Yep. You get Allison back.
Yep.
Jimmy Graham rested up. Aaron Rodgers' knee starts to be 100%.
Best team in the league.
You go into the Coliseum.
Best team in the league.
To your number one team.
Yeah.
And you win that game, Green Bay Packers.
I don't know about that, James. I mean, I know the Rams defense hasn't been playing great. They haven't had to, because they've been getting ahead of teams for the most part. Look, this is a road game, and this is going to be a real challenge for a Packers offense that hasn't really gotten out of neutral.
It all sounds good, but 12 is under center. Then this one, it gets good right here.
Yeah,
you go up to Foxborough. Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. The Packers go out there. That defense cannot stop Aaron Rodgers. They find a way to win this game. But the best part about it all is when we come on this show on Tuesday after this week, the Packers is going to be your number one rated team. And I can't wait.
No.
I can't wait.
Look, you're telling me that you're going to go out to L.A., then fly across the country after beating the best team in the league and beat Tom Brady and the Patriots? I don't see it. All right.
W's, baby. And you already know where I'm going right here. This is
anticlimactic.
This is called easy money right here.
Okay, I'm with you.
W
there.
Right there.
I think that's an L.
6-2-1 Green Bay record. Packers, ranked number one in the division. The power is on, baby. Don't turn them lights out.
Uh-oh.
Like my little son do. Hey!
So that's the party. And you've got James Jones saying the Packers are going to win in the next four. They're going to beat San Francisco. They're going to go to the bye week. They're going to self-scout. They're going to knock off L.A. They're going to knock off New England. And they're going to knock off Miami in the next four. I'll take a split at this point. if they go 3 out of 4, that would be impressive. That would seriously be impressive. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do you think it, just flat out asking you, is there any way the Green Bay Packers win the next four? San Francisco, L.A., the Rams, New England, the Patriots, and Miami, the Dolphins. L.A. and New England on the road. Do you think there's any way they win the next four? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Feel free. Go ahead and do it. SCS says, no way in heck. Will the Green Bay Packers win the next four? They're going to be lucky to beat San Francisco. This is from Boomer. Boomer writes, hey, guys, I love the optimism, but cannot understand where it is coming from other than wearing the green and gold glasses. I think James Jones is just trying to kiss up because Aaron Rodgers was going to give him the story first on the new contract, but our $170 million man is playing like just an average quarterback and should only be making maybe $1 million a year. Now, Boomer, that's just, come on, Boomer. Come on. Now you're getting crazy on me. Okay? There's a lot of things. You know, I was kind of with you there for a minute. And now you're just getting crazy on me. Don't get crazy on me. Aaron Rodgers is worth a lot more than that. What is this? Only if they fire McCarthy and the interim coach is then Aaron Rodgers. Schwatzy writes in the Wendy's email inbox. Schwatzy. He says, at what point do they get rid of Mike McCarthy? I think he has run his course in Green Bay. If they make a change now, they can salvage the season. If they stick with him, this is going to be a long, slow foundering, like a ship slowly going to the bottom of the ocean. Here's my question. Does all of this change if all of a sudden they do turn it around? Let's just say they knock off San Francisco, they get the bye week, they self-scout, and then it all changes. They come out and everything starts to click. Does then all the McCarthy firing talk go away? I'm just asking. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just simply asking the question. Or do you only show up to yell fire McCarthy when there's a loss? 855-830-8648. Jeff says an average quarterback would have been out for weeks given the injury. You mean with Rodgers? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what every quarterback's threshold, pain threshold is. It's to whatever they can withstand. Don't forget, Aaron Rodgers has a lot of weight on his shoulders because, you know, he's been banged up in his career, obviously. But he's also following a guy that was the Iron Man of football. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. He knows that. There's a lot of things he does that are the, quote, anti-Favre. That's the reason Aaron Rodgers still holds press conferences at his locker. Because Favre used to do it at the podium every Wednesday. We'd always have to sit around and wait for Brett. And then, you know, you'd ask Brett one or two questions. And then he'd ask himself like 10 questions along the way. And suddenly the press conference was over. And Aaron didn't want to do that. He wanted to be one of the guys. He didn't want to seem like he was putting on airs. So he does it at his locker. You know, I mean, there's some things about Brett that he does the opposite. But when it comes to playing, he knows. He knows there's always going to be that comparison. And he also knows that until he gets a second Super Bowl or at least gets back to a second Super Bowl, he's always going to be considered less of a quarterback. Even though statistically and athletically and the ability that he has, everybody still says he's one of the greatest to ever play the game. But his statistical analysis, to add another ring to a finger means everything. Means everything. Aaron Rodgers working with the rehab group today, by the way. Just an FYI. 855-830-8648. When we come back, I do want to switch gears. I want to talk some Badger football as well. Badgers getting ready to go over to the Big House. Game day is going to be on site. It's a night game. That place is going to be off the hook. Can the Badgers, the way they have played thus far, walk away with a victory over the Michigan Wolverines? Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal, he's going to join us coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Based on the rules, it was the right call. That was, it wasn't my intention to hit him helmet to helmet, but it was. It's a very, very big learning experience for me.
Nelson on the targeting call. He said, learning experience. Never want that to happen again. Going to need all hands on deck as they go into the Big House. Badgers getting set to take on the Michigan Wolverines this Saturday night under the lights. College game day on site. Atmosphere is going to be electric. Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. So the targeting call, it's a tough lesson to learn, but in the collegiate ranks, they are using it more and more and more, and they're becoming, I'm not going to say stricter about it, but it's basically, if you even come close, they're sending guys out of the ballgame.
Yeah, they are being pretty strict about it. I think in Nelson's case, that was a pretty clear targeting. I mean, it was a clear helmet-to-helmet shot against a defenseless receiver, so I think Nelson's just got to kind of learn from that and try to move on and make sure it doesn't happen again. Because, I mean, him being out for the first half of this Michigan game, especially with the other issues they have in the secondary and the injuries that they have, is a really big deal. And, I think with the targeting call, I think there are always going to be situations where I don't think you're ever going to be able to eliminate targeting penalties. You know, I think even the guys that are the most careful are going to go in there and accidentally hit somebody helmet to helmet, at some point or another. But mm-hmm. it's they're just trying to make the game safer, and it's just something you kind of got to deal with.
So looking at not having him out, that you talked about, how much this could hurt this team. What do you expect Michigan to do in the first half as opposed to the second half?
Well, I don't know if they'll change their game plan between the first half and second half too much. I think they'll probably try to get the running game going early. and to try to kind of set up their play action game. You know, Wisconsin struggled against the run against against BYU and Iowa, and you know, those teams got in a lot of third manageable situations and kind of took Wisconsin's defense out of their game a little bit. And so even though Eldon Nelson is going to be out, I don't know if Michigan's going to necessarily, you know, change their game plan and try to go at Eric Burrell from the very start. You know, no, maybe they will, but I kind of think they're going to more play their game, and I think they probably feel like offensively they're going to be able to move the ball regardless of whether Nelson's in there or Burrell's in there. So I think they're going to feel like they can have success against the secondary, especially if they're able to kind of set up that running game first.
What do you make of Michigan, first and foremost?
You know, it's a team that, you know, I wasn't sure how to gauge them early in the season. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about their prospects than maybe I was early on in the year. You know, that Notre Dame loss is looking, you know, not too bad right now with Notre Dame up at number five, I believe, now. And, you know, they've had some slow starts in some games, but they've been able to kind of turn it on in the second half. Like last week against Maryland, you know, that game was close for a while, but they found a way to just kind of, you know, pull away at the end. And I think they're just kind of taking care of business right now. So, you know, I think it's one of the best defenses in the country, and I think Shea Patterson at quarterback kind of gives them a little bit, kind of something they didn't have last year when once Wilton Spate got injured and they had to kind of you know, cobble things together with O'Korn and with Peters. So I think having a stable quarterback back there, I think their offensive line is probably playing a little better than they have the last couple of years as well. So I think it's a really talented team that can do. Can definitely be a real contender in the East this year.
For as much as they look for Zach Gentry downfield, Peoples-Jones, he's been the go-to guy when it comes to getting into the end zone. His longest is a 41-yard touchdown. He's also got five TDs on the season. That seems to be the guy in the red zone they're looking for.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, he's a dangerous guy in the return game, too. I think he's going to be a guy that Wisconsin's going to have to keep an eye on this whole game. And, you know, that's the thing. I think with this Wisconsin defense is, you know, with Daron Harrell and Caesar Williams potentially being out, you know, you may have to stick a true freshman and Rashad Wild Goose out there for a lot of snaps. And, you know, we already mentioned Eric Burrell having to start the first half. So I think the weapons they have at receiver and in the passing game can really take advantage of that. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like we mentioned earlier, kind of if Michigan does anything differently than they normally do. I think they still feel like with Isaiah Loudermilk out, especially, they can probably take advantage of the running game as well. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if this defense can, what the defense can do. Cause I mean, I said this on my podcast earlier this week, but if those corners are out, and you know, Isaiah Loudermilk was just ruled out today, actually, if those guys can't play and maybe Van Ginkle is still not 100% healthy, I think this game has a little bit of blowout potential if the defense can't really come together. Like you'd hope with those guys out, but you know, we'll have to wait and see if they're able to kind of contain things.
I know Jonathan Taylor has you know, about 150 short of 1,000 yards already this season, but give me your thoughts on Jonathan Taylor. He's got 8 touchdowns, he's been featured, but he hasn't necessarily separated himself from everybody else when it comes to that Heisman chase. Does he need a big game on national TV to kind of put himself back in that spotlight?
Yeah, I think as far as if he's actually going to go and win it for a Wisconsin team that at this point very likely will not be in the playoffs, I think he does have to have, at some point he has to have that Heisman game, whether it's on a nationally televised game, whether it's this week against Michigan or the game at Penn State or a potential Big Ten championship game. And, you know, I think for him, if Wisconsin's not going to go win the Big Ten or be in the playoffs, I think he's that kind of puts the onus on him to put up, you know, even more stats to try to stay in the conversation. I think he's got to have some type of signature moment in a big game that's nationally televised. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be this week. They'll have a couple more chances later in the year, and the later in the year you do that, the more people remember it when they're voting on the award. But I think if he goes out there against a defense like this and puts up a big number, that could really go a long way.
Hornibrook, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. He has thrown some ill-advised passes, but his quarterback rating has not been bad. He's just under 1,000 yards, but talk about his play, because he's had a couple of ugly ones. Go back to that game against BYU and you just kind of scratch your head, but he has not been the total bad decision maker that we kind of saw last year. He's been better.
Yeah, I think he has. You know, the BYU interception was really bad. It was a really poor decision, and that really kind of turned that game around. It was BYU was able to turn that into a touchdown that gave them the lead in the third quarter and kind of gave them a lot of momentum. But I think outside of that, he's been really good. Like you said, two interceptions in five games. He's on pace for way less than that number than he had last year. And, I think he's been really efficient so far. I think his completion percentage is up a little bit. And, I think you still want maybe him and the Badgers passing game and as a whole to kind of find some more explosive plays. They really haven't had that since the first couple games of this season. They haven't been able to find those deep passes downfield. And, Quintez Cephas not being there, doesn't help things, obviously. But I think they're going to want to try to, at some point, open things up to try to at least use the play-action game to hit some shots downfield. But I think outside of that pick against BYU, Hornibrook's at least been really efficient this year and a guy that hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cephas. And I know it's not football-related to this Michigan game, but just give me your thoughts on what's going on out there with Cephas, the investigation, him now suing the school for a rights violation. So give me your thoughts on what's going on there.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange situation. He, with him suing the university at this point, and he's the strange thing about it is, he's with his suspension, he's still kind of allowed to use Wisconsin's facilities. He just can't be with the team and be part of team activities. So I've actually seen him, around the facilities, and he was catching balls in the McLean Center the other day. And yet he's suing the university for the investigation into what he did. So it's kind of a strange situation. He did plead not guilty to his criminal charges earlier today. So it looks like the trial is going to be a long drawn out process. And so we're not going to get resolution on that for a long time. What happens with him taking action against the university is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. I haven't really seen anything like that before. I'm not sure if there's a precedent or not. But I guess it's just something to kind of wait and see on.
I was going to say, is there something, because I don't know specifically how this works. I understand legally where they're coming from. How can you conduct an investigation and participate in it with the university if you are right now kind of quashed from the legal proceeding and your attorney doesn't want you talking? How can they proceed with an investigation into you? You know what I mean? You can't go in any way, shape, or form incriminate yourself or give out details to the university because it all pertains to a criminal case, and the university can't complete their case without knowing the details. So they basically say silence is deadly, and therefore, we're going to go ahead and continue to investigate. I mean, it kind of interferes with the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does kind of make sense what Cephas's lawyers are doing here. When you really look at it that way, and it's like I said, I haven't really heard of a situation like this happening before. But what they're arguing here does make a lot of sense, like you just laid out. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because I think they do have a real case for that. And like I said, there's no precedent for this, so I'm not really sure exactly how this is going to play out, but it's really an interesting situation at this point.
Talking with Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal. This is a big game for both teams in the sense that if they lose, specifically Michigan loses this game at home, another blemish on their record, and for any hopes of trying to climb through the ranks, sitting at number 12, would be pretty much quashed at this point. And if the Badgers would get a road win like this, this could vault them maybe back up near the top 10. And after that, maybe who knows. But the huge game for both programs because the loser is done as far as any hopes and any shot at all of ever getting back to the Final Four, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing I look at this game. And, a lot of people have already counted Wisconsin out of the playoffs. But until they lose that second game, I mean, they're not completely out of it. I mean, I talked to some of the players this week about it, actually, and they kind of still are under the, whether it's naive or not, they're under the belief that they are capable of winning out and, winning at Michigan, winning at Penn State, and winning the Big Ten Championship game and getting back into contention for the playoffs. So in that terms, it's a really big game for both teams. Like you said, that the loser is pretty much just out of all that conversation. And especially for Michigan, I think, they have so much competition in the East already. They can't really afford to lose a crossover game like this before they go into their games against the Penn States and Ohio States of the world. So, I think for them, finishing you know, third and fourth in the last few years in the Big Ten East, they really got to make sure they get this one at home. And I think if you're Wisconsin, it does give you the opportunity to – I think people are not expecting you to win this game at this point. It gives you the opportunity to get back in the national conversation. And you know, if you win this one, you're probably going to go into that Penn State game, the third to last game of the year, with only one loss still. And, you know, at that point, you're kind of in the picture a little bit. So, like you said, huge game for both teams here, and the winner, the loser is going to be, you know, feeling like they're really out of it at that point.
Good stuff as always, Jason. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, I've been going to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. The Brewers, Central Division champions. Don't forget, they're commemorating the historic event. Our friends over at BigTimeBats.com offering the officially licensed Milwaukee Brewers Central Division team signature bat, 35 inches. The facsimile of signatures all over the bat, including the Brewers' roster, the Brewers logo, and the words 2018 Central Division Champions. The bat is limited to 5,000, and it sells for $129.95. Go to BigTimeBats.com to order right now. That's BigTimeBats.com, or call 866-280-BATS, 866-280-BATS, and check it out for yourself. That's BigTimeBats.com, or call 866-280-BATS. Trademarks and logos used with permission of Major League Baseball. Going to talk some UW-Whitewater football. Big win last week. Can they keep it rolling in the WEAC this week? More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you talking some D3 football and head coach of the UW-Whitewater Warhawks, Coach Kevin Bullis. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Coach, you guys pitched yet another shutout against a tough team, but I started going over the stats. Only 18 rushing yards given up in that. Your defense has been playing lights out this season.
I tell you, Bill, it's real exciting because a year ago we gave up 250 yards of rushing against Oshkosh. And so our guys kind of, with a vengeance, that was awesome. And considering that was really the same offensive line that we went against a year ago, I'll tell you, our D-line and our front seven, very excited about that stat.
That was probably one of the cleanest games you guys have played. Not only did you guys play well defensively, only two penalties the entire game, correct?
No doubt. And that was something that really been biting us. And I'll tell you, we take discipline very seriously, and discipline to our game. Obviously, penalties can be an indicator of that. And you know, the thing I'm excited about is our methods of making the corrections that we did on some of the holdings that we had prior in the season, and to go out and have a clean game like that was needed. It was well needed.
You made the change at offensive coordinator in the off season. This year, your offense has been rolling. You put up 20 against Oshkosh. You got up 13 at half, and then went on from there. But the fact, it seems like things are just, there's a flow to it. You guys are being able to get downfield a little bit more. Talk about the change in the offense and what that's meant to your team.
I tell you, Pete Jennings, I've known Pete for, going on 11 years now, and him and I had gotten to be friends over the years. And the thing I know about him is that he is a fantastic teacher. It's one thing to be an extremely intelligent offensive mind, defensive mind, but the biggest thing is what your kids know. And for you to be able to, and that's what Pete does. He keeps the game simple for the kids, but tough for the opponents. And I tell you, the energy he brings to the field is fantastic, and it's definitely been great for the culture of the team, but more so even that offense.
When you started the season, you knew you were coming off a little bit of a rough year last year, and then you had talked about, you know, kind of getting into camp and feeling something special. Do you feel that? Is that something that continues to kind of embrace this program?
No doubt, and that's the most important part of it, Bill, is you just nailed it. I mean, it's all about practice and great. It's about having great practices and great energy for every practice, great improvement in each practice, and that's what we focus on. If we focus on that, the games will take care of itself, and that's what this group has done. I mean, even starting back to last spring with spring practices, we had 15 of them. Every practice, we got better. And that's the same thing ever since we started camp back on August 11th.
You guys have UW-Eau Claire coming up on the docket. You have won the last 16 meetings between you guys. This is a team that, you know, on paper you'd say, well, you know what, you get ready for next week after that. But UW-Eau Claire always brings something. I mean, even though you guys have been able to dominate in the points, they always bring something. And if you kind of lighten up at this point, they can get past you. How do you keep the focus on a team that you should beat?
No, and that's, and again, that's the day-to-day, Bill. That's, we needed to have a great practice on Tuesday. We felt very good about it. We had a very good practice yesterday, and now we got to get ready for today. Because it's the WIC, you know that, Bill. Mm-hmm. Anybody can beat anyone on any given day, and you know, Claire's defense, man, they bring it. If you notice, they've been playing some great defense. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. And offensively, they got a quarterback that can run, pass, and throw, and they're a spooky team to say the least.
You come back the week following. You have the homecoming, UW River Falls. So you got to keep your guys focused this week. Best of luck to you guys, Coach. And when you put the numbers up, when you look at 185-19, that's what you've scored versus what you've given up. Do you ever just sit back and go, holy mackerel, we're already five games into the season, we've only given up 19 points?
Hey, I'm very excited about it. I mean, that defensive crew, I can't explain it.
Great stuff, Coach. Best of luck. We'll chat again next week, pal, okay?
We'll see you then, Bill.
Talk to you then. There you go. That is the head coach of the UW-Whitewater Warhawks, who are up to number 5 in the country now. And they take on UW-Eau Claire this coming week. And I'm not kidding. They have scored 185. They have given up a total of 19. They've pitched a couple of shutouts already. And the most they gave up was to UW-Lacrosse when they won 30-7. They got something special. It looks like UW-Whitewater football, after a little bit of a down year last year, is back and back in a big way. See if they can keep it going again this weekend. Who should be the starter for Game 1 of the NLCS? We'll answer that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.